This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
I think she should run for president again if she believes she has the energy to do it.
Do you think she could win the nomination?
I do.
If Kamala Harris has the energy to, if Kamala Harris believes that she has the energy to run for president, she believed that Joe Biden had the energy to keep running for president.
Well, maybe she's a running mate for Biden again in 2028.
Maybe it's Harris Biden.
Yeah, now that's a ticket.
As predictable as Biden-Harris was at one time, honestly. Happy Wednesday. Welcome to the Andy Fry Show. 1 week from Christmas today. Are you in the Christmas spirit fully yet? Have you arrived?
You know, it's weird because it's all come later this year, but I think I'm there.
The problem is that the Christmas spirit also coincides with me not wanting to do anything that involves responsibilities.
I know, and I feel like today is the last day for that. Tomorrow we're really going to coast.
I keep waiting. I quit thinking too hard after Annie, are you okay on Thursday?
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, Thursday is when we hit it.
And every day I realize it's Thursday, I think, ooh, I just need it to be 225 and then I'm done for the week.
Exactly.
That's probably not the best attitude because there's still work day left.
I'll tell you what though, last night, Annie, I had a friend come over from church. We just had some stuff that we needed to catch up on. And we had a fire going. We had the tree all lit up. We've got some presents around the tree now. The living room was clean. It was beautiful.
How long did that last?
About an hour. But at that moment, I was in the Christmas spirit.
You had the fire going?
Yeah.
Did you cut that tree down with your own bare hands?
No, it was a burner log.
It's a burner log. We've got in the 1 o'clock hour today, Jory Murdoch. He's going to talk to us about just the slow death of DEI. And this is kind of what I was talking about yesterday. We were talking about things we wanted to see go by the wayside in 2025. Cancel culture is at the top of my list. I really want to get back to the time where when something offended you, you had the right to be offended and everybody else has the right to not care. No obligation whatsoever to join in the outrage. If you're tired that day and you don't want to get all worked up and offended by something, you just don't. That sounds lovely.
I'm not going to say that Trump's election had nothing to do with that as just a barometer of the culture. But to me, the culture has been shifting away from the cancel crap for quite a while now.
Well,
we're not there yet.
I think Donald Trump he was the ultimate attempt in canceling. They did everything to Donald Trump that they possibly could to try to make it so that he was no longer allowed to be relevant, and they lost so big. We will tell our children's children about Donald Trump.
Yeah, he's that consequential.
How would he tell his story?
How would Donald Trump tell his own story?
Yeah, he should be. Does he have time to be working on a memoir right now?
I don't think so.
No, he should.
I think once he does, he would start it much like the Apostle Paul. I once knew a man who ascended to the third heaven.
What? you think that he would end up telling his story biblically?
I think he would tell it third person, like about himself. He would be talking not in first.
Well, I mean, to the winner goes the spoils. The winner gets to tell the history of what happened, and that's just the way it goes. I mean, the story's not done yet. He won, and winning in and of itself is a victory, but he's still got to do something. If he gets walloped in the midterms and then can't do anything other than executive orders that can be unexecutive ordered come the next 2028 election, then what?
Yeah. If you break Donald Trump's story into like movie parts, typically a movie has three acts, sometimes five, but most of the time three. We're just entering the third act now, because you had this first term, you had the whole Biden term would be the middle part. And then this is where the story really comes to a head.
Mm-hmm. And he gets to really participate in the finish him of the comeback, where he gets to come back in 2025, immediately affect a massive amount of change. And then I think right now more people are open to it than they've ever been before. His approval rating is above water, like for the first time ever.
It's ever been.
Yes. And Joe Biden's continues to tank. I think the Republicans have a huge responsibility ahead of them. I felt this really strongly when Donald Trump won in 2016. I felt this like, crap. I hope we can do that stuff that we said. I hope people agree with it, because if Donald Trump looks like he came in like a thief in the night and beat Hillary Clinton and nobody expected that to happen, and then it's a miserable failure, Republicans are never going to win again, which is ironically what Joe Biden did in the converse.
This feels completely different from 2016. I think the whole presidency will. Because the whole 2016 through 2020, Democrats felt like, you guys snuck this one through.
Yeah.
We'll show you what you were really voting for. But this time everybody knew. Yep. And they know that.
As the Republicans are defining themselves, you know, you hear even people like Mitt Romney and Van Jones across the aisle. Bill Maher will say it too, that like the Republican Party is Donald Trump's party. It's the MAGA party. There has to be something beyond Donald Trump. And we have to be kind of working on that right now, which is, you know, what kind of scoreboard results do we put up after Donald Trump starts to do his thing? Lingering out there, and I don't want it to be like a huge story that takes up a ton of headlines. It's reflected in our YouTube live chat poll for today is, what will come of the Gates ethics report that is going to be released this week? This was news that was released this morning, and I think that I mean it caught me off guard. I had a meeting this morning at 8:30 and sitting there watching the news come through and just kind of having a regular morning, and then all of a sudden here you go, here's a story about Matt Gaetz, and they're saying that is going to be released this week. I believe they want to wait until all votes are done being taken. Fox News was reporting on it. The story came out at 9:12 this morning. The House Ethics Committee has decided to release its report on former Representative Matt Gaetz of Florida. Lawmakers in the secretive panel voted to make the report public after the final votes of this year, which are slated for Thursday. The House Ethics Committee's multi-year investigation into Gaetz involving allegations of sex with a minor and illicit drug use came to an abrupt halt last month after he resigned from Congress, hours after President-elect Trump tapped him to be his attorney general. Gaetz dropped out of consideration amid quiet but steady GOP opposition, but the committee nevertheless lost jurisdiction over the probe when Gaetz left the House of Representatives. Gaetz has consistently denied any accusations of wrongdoing, and an earlier federal investigation into the allegations ended without charges against him. So here's the question for you. Do you anticipate that this report is going to be a bombshell, or is it going to be a nothing burger? If there is a shred of anything ugly in this report, it's going to feed the Trump-hating media for quite some time. And it's going to be used to paint a broader picture than just Matt Gaetz.
Yeah, if there's anything, because even when the Robert Mueller investigation came to a head, he came out and said, no collusion, no corruption. And everybody's like, well, let me rephrase that for you, though. So that will happen here, even if it's just little things. But my prediction here is that there will be something. And I'm going to guess, so far as it actually wipes out his political career, I'm going to say it's a bombshell.
Do you think it's a bombshell? I mean, I don't know how his time in Congress, when you're somebody who is as bold as Matt Gaetz is, as bombastic as Matt Gaetz is, he, it depends on who you are and how much you like him, confidently or arrogantly hijacked the House of Representatives to get Kevin McCarthy out of the speakership, predominantly because McCarthy wouldn't stop this ethics report from going through. I don't love that. That seemed very personal and self-serving. To me, if the ethics report was not to be feared, then he is like, release it. I'm not giving up my career for something that is a nothing burger. But the question I have in my mind is like, comparative to the many sins of those people in Washington, D.C., as if their pile of sins has any sort of salvation consequence greater than my pile of sins, which are many. But it's just a dirty place. Why are there secrets that are behind the closets, the closet doors of a lot of these people in Congress? But Matt Gaetz just pushed the wrong button that was a completely non-related thing, and they decided to use the powers at their fingertips to go after him. I don't like those methods, but I still might not like the results of what's in the ethics report. It's just like, don't ever wrestle with a pig because you both get dirty and the pig likes it.
And he does. He rustles things up. And that may be why people are willing to turn on him and dig up dirt on him. But again, if it's real dirt, then it's real dirt, you know?
Do you think he's going to be a bombshell or a nothing burger?
I think the report's going to be a nothing burger, but I think what's going to end up happening is they're going to turn it into a bombshell because it's Matt Gaetz and it's a chance to smear the Republicans. And so that's what they'll do. They'll find whatever and be like, hey.
So you think Matt Gaetz is clean?
No, I don't think he's clean.
He's a politician still.
Yes.
Well, and we know people who are politicians who are very good people.
Yes, we do.
To suggest that they would be in this. I don't like the, you know, this is always my thing. And you guys are a little bit on the side here. Like, people are like, all politicians are trashy people. And I'm like, how many? There's 538 people in Congress. How many can you name?
Yeah.
And you're lucky to name 10.
I just think Washington is a really crappy place and it corrupts people. So even, there are good people, but the percentage of people who get corrupted is to me, probably higher there.
So you would say...
I think it's not going to be as bad as everybody wants it to be. Does that make sense, what I'm trying to say here? When I say what everybody wants it to be, everybody is playing this up. And when it comes out, there's going to be unsavory stuff in there. But I don't think it's going to rise to the level that everybody has been playing it up to be.
I don't think I want it to be bad, though. It would be the funniest thing in the world if he was squeaky clean.
Yeah, if it said, yeah, he was all right. That's the whole report.
And that's, I mean, the allegations that are out there have tainted my eyebrow raised towards him. I have the open mind that he is maybe being attacked. It's one of those things like the context of his own actions and his smugness, which I think if I said that to him, I don't know that he'd be offended by that. He has that.
He'd probably put that clip online.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I don't. He doesn't walk himself around like he is pristine Pollyanna. But I don't want it to be a bad report. I want it to be the squeakiest clean report that you could. That would be so funny because all of the leftist late crazies that are just looking for something to cling to in the media who would be waiting to get that thing. You remember when Rachel Maddow was like on some nighttime show and she's like, I have Trump's tax returns.
Yes.
And then it was like,
yeah, it was like one page from 2005.
Yeah.
They built that up big.
Yeah. It was stupid. It was really stupid.
It was.
And the reason why it was so hilarious is because you could tell how aroused they were at the idea.
Nice choice of words.
I'm not wrong.
Oh, look what we got. It's coming Friday.
Yeah, you need some privacy?
Woo! Is that what when you say aroused, that's what I think of.
That?
Yeah. That.
We should take a break.
Yeah, we should.
We want to know from you what will come of the Gaetz Ethics Report release this week. The House Ethics Committee, which is like a super top secret committee, they super tight-lipped about everything. They have voted to release the ethics report, which just seems quite kind of odd. Right before Christmas, it'll get put out, it'll get buried. That's one of the things that makes me think it's also a bombshell, is that the Republicans, who would have the majority, I would assume, on that committee, unless it's completely bipartisan, all the Democrats would be like, yeah, you better release that thing. If you have Republicans that are voting to release this and they're saying, let's get it out there right before Santa Claus comes, you're just kind of trying to bury it then. Let us know if you think it's going to be a bombshell or a nothing burger on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. Take a quick break here. We'll get to some of the other news of the day. Let's talk about that border wall auction that's going on right now and whether or not Donald Trump is going to be able to push back successfully and stopping Joe Biden. Joe Biden is just, he is just angry and trolling everybody. And I still don't even know if he's the one who's calling the shots in this regard. Either that or, what is it, hell hath no scorn?
Yes.
No, hell hath no scorn?
Fury.
Fury like this.
Like a woman scorn.
Like a woman scorn?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is Jill. Let's talk about it when we come back. Don't go away.
Yeah.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We appreciate you being with us on a Wednesday afternoon, 1 week from Christmas, and we are very excited about it. I have some last minute things that I need to get done that just became a lot more complicated last night. I have set up in my home the ability to make T-shirts, to make like vinyl things that you could put on your, I haven't put anything on my car, but like labels and stuff. And I'm working on getting stuff done for people, and my heat press went kaput last night, and I am not happy about it.
Did it fizz up and like...
I was pressing a shirt for one of my daughter's friends, classmates, teammates, and it burned the shirt, and then it aired out.
Oh.
And now it just goes on and it just beeps.
I can't tell you why I'm disappointed about that, but it involves Christmas gifts for my family.
No, it doesn't.
Well, now it doesn't.
I have a friend who.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk a little bit about this because this is as frustrating as government gets. But then again, why would you be surprised by the current administration's actions on the auction of the border wall?
It amazes the American people how out of touch the Biden-Harris administration is. They didn't listen to the results of November the 5th at all. This is just a slap in the face of the American taxpayer, selling off the border at 5 cents on the dollar. It's a disgrace. It's just another disgraceful capstone to the Biden-Harris administration, which I think, Stuart, will go down as the worst presidency in modern American history.
When you find out that Joe Biden is selling off this stuff, Trump said in his press conference earlier this week that they're already calling him and offering to sell it back to him, but like dramatically more expensive.
Oh my gosh, that's so ridiculous. That's the kind of stuff that really makes me mad. Because who are you getting back? If you're the Biden administration, and I'm putting Joe Biden aside, I don't think he knows what's going on. But somebody in the Biden administration has decided, you know what we're going to do? We're going to sabotage this thing. But they didn't step back and ask themselves, who are we sabotaging? They're not sabotaging Trump. He's still going to do it.
Well, it makes me feel like if Joe Biden is doing this to sabotage something, that A, he never cared about the American people in the first place, and he's not trying to screw the American people now either, because he doesn't care about the political fallout of doing something so dumb.
Yes, it's, oh gosh, this one really makes me mad. It seems like it makes a lot of people mad, so I'm glad it's getting attention.
I was thinking about buying some, selling back for a little profit.
Well, I'm not opposed to a little capitalism.
Help me
process,
buy a new heat press. Listen, I was on hard times. I was in a time crunch. I know that Donald Trump is trying to sue to keep them from doing that. People are saying that it has to do with defense spending because, I mean, good grief, obviously it's defense spending. Obviously there's an understanding here that what we're trying to do with the southern border is, which is why I don't understand why they haven't been able to take more action towards the administration right now, because they are abdicating their responsibility to protect the United States of America. And I guess if you don't have the fortitude in the House and the Senate to press that issue, then it doesn't really much matter. But simply putting up the wall and at least curtailing the people who are coming here, funneling them to one place, making it more difficult to go through the process because there is a process. The reason people hate the border wall is because Trump said it in the first place. That's the reason.
Yeah, that is it.
And now there are people who are like, Trump's not so bad. So maybe now the border wall isn't so bad. Maybe so much so that Kamala Harris was talking in her campaign about putting up the border wall. I mean, imagine that. Imagine Kamala Harris wins the election and border wall is sitting there and she's talking about finishing some of the border wall. And then Joe Biden goes and sells it off before Kamala takes office. Tell me this isn't 100% political.
Oh, it's obviously 100% political. It's just that the people that they're sabotaging on their way out the door are not even their political opponents. They're not stopping Trump from doing this. They're just costing everybody. They're costing taxpayers, whether they be Republican taxpayers or Democrat taxpayers. They're just costing them more money because we know the end game here. We know the outcome. It's amazing to look back at the campaign of Kamala Harris / Joe Biden and how in the last roughly 12 months they shifted their messaging on the border, because they knew this is a losing issue. Ultimately, it was a losing issue for them. But we fail. It's so quick that we listen to somebody and go, oh, maybe they've changed their tune. Maybe they actually would build the border wall. This was the administration that was suing people for following the law. They were suing Texas, for instance, for trying to curtail illegal immigration. They were suing Arizona to try to stop them from doing what the federal government was supposed to be doing.
What do you want to see? Like, let's set aside, let's completely handshake agree, obviously. I don't even think we need to have much of a discussion about this. About, let's completely agree right now that we need to seal the border.
Okay.
Done? Setting that aside, let's talk about immigration.
Okay.
Steve Moore was on the show with us on Monday, and I asked him this question because we're talking about the economy and we're talking about all of these different ways that we're going to see Donald Trump re-stimulate the economy through energy production and so on and so forth. But I asked him, you know, when you deport people, there are a lot of people on the left. It is really quite crazily bizarre to me to listen to a lot of these pundits. Marie Harf was one of them. And oh, gosh. She's a lefty and she's on Fox News and she's doing her job. So if she's getting under my skin, she's doing her job. Her whole point on deportations was that, well, just so you know, a lot of those goods and services you like to use are going to cost a lot more now. And I'm like, is that their use to you? You want them here because you want to make some sort of humanitarian argument about why they need to be here. But you're like, but really when it comes down to, you're going to have to pay more for your produce.
It's amazing. That's not even their argument. That's their argument now. Because they weren't like, you know what we need to do? Really stop enforcing immigration law because we want to lower prices. They never, ever said that. If they would have, that would have been an argument for it, which would be a stupid one. But they never even were making that argument.
And then you listen to like Anna Navarro be like, who's going to watch your kids when you deport all these people? And I'm like, maybe me? Or my very Midwestern nanny of sorts who lives out by Midway in Illinois. And haven't checked her papers. Pretty sure she's legal.
If only,
I think we'll be fine.
If only there were people who were citizens of the United States that could run daycares. I wish we could see that day.
Also, is the reason why goods are cheaper and services are cheaper is because some of these industries are using labor off the books. And if they're using labor off the books, then they're not adhering to all of the different sorts of requirements that, you know, American humans get. So if you're not an American human, then we just treat you less because it makes our produce cheaper.
Yeah, if it's off the books too, your tax base is going to go up when you deport everybody, because there's going to be more people paying taxes.
Nobody's going to do these jobs. Well, what if you paid those people that living wage that you're always barking about? Then maybe people would do these jobs. And if you had to pay into the system the way that you want American citizens to pay into the system, like. I was just listening to Fox a little bit earlier today, and they were talking about how the Roosevelt Hotel in New York City is just full of immigrants. And there are, in their words on Fox News this morning, there are tons of unsupervised children living in that hotel. If that is true, how can we live with ourselves knowing that we are putting all of these kids up in a hotel? What for? What end? Like, at what point does this cycle end? It doesn't. And we are just perpetually going to be in this cycle of bringing people here. Like, what kind of conditions are these people coming into that's going to make them love the people who brought them here and shoved them into a hotel so much? They're like, we should vote for more of that.
Yeah, the border issues and illegal immigration issues of the last 4 years have really destroyed any shred of the bleeding heart liberal of the past. Because I used to actually have some respect for the real traditional, like, oh, you just ooze with compassion kind of liberal. I used to think that their policy positions were bad, but I saw where they were coming from on a lot of it. But to reconcile that with the way the border and illegal immigration has been run for the last 4 years, you can't. You've become so partisan or so full of Trump derangement syndrome that even those people who had that genuine bit of like the traditional liberal, you lost me in the last 4 years.
Are you sure that they're not doing it out of compassion? Like you said, you lost them, but you can't look at this and say that maybe they think that what they're doing is best, but they're not looking at the whole picture. They're saying, well, what we're doing is we're taking these people out of this horrible, terrible situation. Because whenever you listen to the argument is, well, they're all asylum seekers and they're looking for asylum. So to the average person, asylum means that they're running from some sort of horrible situation. So they hear that and they say, well, if we let them into our country, they won't need to seek asylum from. Therefore, you know, it'll be better for them here. So there's your bleeding heart liberal thing where you're talking about they're doing it from caring. But what they don't understand is the horrible journey that they're doing by opening the borders, the stuff that they're setting these people up for, the bad circumstances that they get when they move here, or maybe great circumstances, depending on if they are put up in a nice hotel. But I think to say that they're not doing it out of caring misses the fact that maybe they just don't fully comprehend what they do. And they live on this one step ahead, surface level type of thinking where they go out of that place into this place, but they have no idea what all the other like peripheral issues that causes and the bad things that it could cause.
Yeah.
I just think you have to be willfully ignorant to miss all that now. I would love if that were the case, Brad, because that would, you know, be still, there would be some dignity in that, just being unaware. But I think you have to willfully miss all that at this point.
I think the immigration question that needs to be answered is, how do we bring people in here to better the United States of America? We can better people's lives. I'm all 100% for that. You have to have a mutual agreement that you want to make America better for being here. Is that too harsh? Like, if you're not, you need to come to America and contribute.
No, I don't.
Is that scandalous? Because I don't.
Well, you know what? To an extent, there are a lot of people who think, no, it's mean to tell people that they're being lazy or that you have to be a part of the system.
Yeah, I think we should start saying that you need to contribute.
Yeah.
I mean, like. I'm not telling you how much you have to contribute, because if I told you how much you have to contribute so that you can receive X amount of provisions, that's usually what these people are fleeing. That's called socialism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's not the way it is here. Here, you put in what you can and you get out the spoils of what you put in. Sometimes you strike gold and you get a lot more back than you put in, and then you keep that cycle going. Sometimes it goes the other way, where you give it everything you got and it just didn't work. So you got to try something else. You can't just give up. That's where the benefit of America comes in, to support the people who come here. That's why they come here, because they get to have, they get to be in the driver's seat of their own future. So why would we not have an immigration system? Like, if you had a significantly more open, is a green card where you get a worker's permit? Or is that something else?
Yeah.
If you had a, if you had whatever it's called, and in fact, I'd probably rename all of it so that there's no stigma. It's now the orange card.
Yellow card, red card, you're out.
You get two yellow cards and you're gone.
No, you'd have to get a red card. Two yellow cards, you still got to get a red card.
Two yellow cards gives you a red card. So you get the second yellow card.
First red card's not gone.
First red card is. First yellow card isn't.
Well, it depends on what sport we're talking about, because the sports... Anyway, this is not the point. What are we talking about? Yeah, let's argue about volleyball and soccer and whatever else rules. The point being that if we want to bring people in here, and those people are willing to completely turn themselves over to be vetted, and they're willing to do whatever we stipulate they need to do. You got to pay into the system. You have to, you know, be a worker in good standing. You should not commit crimes. Maybe that should have been the first one. Then you can come here and you can work for periods of time, and you have to stay in contact with your own home government. You have to be on record. And if you want to come here and you want to work here and you want to pay into the system and you want to, you know, eat at the local diner and stimulate the economy a little bit there, and if you want to still have the benefits of your culture and your home country or whatever, if you want to come across the border, I've been there. I went, I've seen the ports of entry, and was explained in great detail how there is an enormous amount of commerce that is created by people who don't want, they come across the border every day above board, and they don't want to live in America. They don't want to be Americans, but there are jobs here, so they want to make money here. I have no problem with that. So if those people want to come here and they want to contribute to the bottom line, get them in here and be like bold with it. Just be out there and be like, come. And then create some sort of stipulation that if you are a worker in good standing for a specific amount of time and you want to become a citizen, make it easier for the people who have been coming here and contributing to our economy, to our society, and doing so in good standing. Make it easier for them to be citizens or dual citizens. Why wouldn't we do that? What's the problem with that? What we don't want is people who are walking in, giving the Border Patrol the finger while they walk by and saying, come and get me. Ha ha, you can't. Because that's what's happening right now.
That's the whole logical argument, is nobody, really nobody I've ever talked to on the conservative side of the aisle or the liberal side, has a problem with immigration. They don't have, nobody has a problem with immigration. They're just asking you to use the front door instead of crawling in the window in the middle of the night. You can't come in the window and then expect everybody to go, oh, you're fine. You know, no, the door has to be open to you. You're invited in, just like a vampire. That last part was just because I've been watching What We Do in the Shadows.
And is, that season, a, is that a show?
It's,
or
a,
is that
it's a vampire
just
show.
Just specific to your life?
Yeah, no. It was a great point until I'd veered off into vampire dramas.
Yeah, should we talk about yellow and red cards some more before we wrap up everything?
Yeah, I think we got a couple minutes.
No, we don't. We're doing a lot here today in this, the first 12 o'clock hour. Thank you for being here with us. We appreciate you. The YouTube live chat poll: what will come of the Gates ethics report released this week? Bombshell or nothing burger? I would like to continue that conversation as well about immigration. What is it that we want out of a new immigration system? And let's do it without having to have the obvious conversation that we already agree on. Secure the border. Done. That's going to be happening. What do we do with our immigration system? And just imagine if Donald Trump is the one to reform the immigration system and say, come, just the way Joe Biden did, but he gives you a reason to come, a structure to serve in, and an apparatus to exist in without having to feel like you have to, what did you say, live in the shadows?
Yeah, What We Do in the Shadows.
I don't know. I don't do the shadow thing.
Well, wouldn't it be amazing, though, if the quote that we got from the Trump administration that lasted was, come, but do it right.
Yeah.
And the quote from the Harris administration is, do not come.
Yeah.
Do not come. Don't.
Don't. Wink, wink. Wiggins America, we come back. I'm kind of excited about this one.
Okay.
I'm a little worried about how much I might... fall into the traps of the biggest health trends of 2024. We're going to find out which ones we might have dipped our toe in, or maybe wish we would have, with Wiggins next. Don't go away.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins! Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Annie Fry Show Wiggins America segment.
You said that like you're a butler.
I said that like I'm above it, which I am. But
you're
here
above.
We are.
I'm just saying this with the most honest and sincerity that I possibly can. You are above very little.
But yet, I think I'm above a lot. So what does that say?
You've made a career of that, though.
I'm not really sure what I've made a career of. At times, I wonder why I'm here.
I think you never really know until you're reflecting. So let's not go there.
What will Ryan Wiggins' legacy be?
Yeah. They'll ask that question just like of LeBron.
What will this do to LeBron's legacy?
This is the biggest wellness trends of the year. And these aren't things that came from other years, like, oh, are you riding your exercise bike? This is stuff that's brand new this year to see if you've partaken in any of this or would you. The first one, red light therapy.
Oh, I was just literally researching that this morning.
This is big. This is number one on the list.
For weight loss.
It's for all kinds of things. Apparently, it was originally used as an in-office tool, but this stuff has surged in popularity thanks to claims that they smooth wrinkles, heal acne, boost hair growth, and yes, for even weight loss.
I was totally looking into this for your hair.
For my hair.
You've said this before. If there was a product or a service that could give you like the fullest head of hair, you're game. You're in.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if we had somebody who does that, call us.
Yeah.
You would do it. You would partner with them.
I would do it in a heartbeat.
How bold would... You're not bald.
No.
But you shave your head, right?
Kind of. I mean, I cut it pretty short.
Yeah. But how dramatic would you go with the hair? If you could have the fullest, longest, most flowy locks from where you are right now, to what? How far would you go?
I would be the next Pantene Pro-V spokesperson.
You ever seen use Pantene Pro-V shampoo?
Yeah. Have you ever seen Jennifer Aniston in those commercials? That would be me.
I want just
kind of shaking it out constantly.
What I think that I could imagine is everything the exact same way as far as where there's not a lot of hair, but where there is hair, it's like down to your shoulders.
Yeah.
So just growing out what I have,
right.
That doesn't require a change.
Right.
You have to work at a comic book store then.
I could just, you know, you want to talk about impacting legacy, that's a look that would impact your legacy.
Well, I can tell you this, and I've said this before. If I ever had that much hair, I would grow it really long. I mean, it would be like flaunting it. Constantly.
Would you ever do the ice cream scoop?
Be constant. No. But I'd be flipping it around all the time, like tying it up. Ah, it's all in my face. Oh, God. But I would be, you would catch me accidentally coming up out of water all the time.
For those of you listening, he put air quotes up for that.
Yeah. So it would
what
be like.
What does that mean?
Whoops.
He wants to be the aerial of radio.
I'd be, you know, like, oh my gosh, there's a pool in my office for no reason now. Like, oh my gosh, pool. The office is doing the dunk pool, the dunk thing. Like, you know, you throw a softball. I guess I'll be the fool up there. Oh my gosh.
Would you be up in the,
you know, Mark
on
Cox
the roof?
Knows a little bit about having gray hair.
I'm not worried about the gray. It's the locks. Oh, great.
Okay. I may have the grayest hair on the station, and I'm the youngest.
My beard is getting a little gray. Actually, very gray. So anyway, you're interested in red light therapy. Cool. next one is raw milk.
I don't really believe you.
Raw milk. This is a trend this year.
No, but I have discovered Fairlife. I've told you about this, which is like, I always thought Fairlife was just like some fancy milk, but it's super packed with protein.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't eat a lot of meat, so I'm constantly looking for ways. I try to eat 100 grams of protein every day and 40 grams of fiber. That's the diet. And then wherever the calories fall, they fall. Fairlife milk has helped me get there, but it's super filtered.
Yeah, it's ultra filtered.
But
ultra processed.
But I don't think that's totally a different thing than raw milk. I don't even know
right.
what raw milk is.
Yeah. Well, no, with regular milk, they're like run it through a colander. With Fairlife, they're
like straight
hey, why don't you run it through two colanders?
Bro.
Bro, we could run. I'm going to blow your mind. We could run this through three colanders. It'd be Fairlife.
They got some catchy commercials, too. They got the whistle jingle, Fairlife.
Yeah? I don't know. I don't know them.
Well,
yeah.
I didn't recognize them until literally last night where I was like, oh, this is kind of catchy. I was watching Friends.
Could you perform that?
Have you any of you guys had raw milk?
Just this year.
And?
It was amazing.
Are you a raw milk purchaser or you just tried it?
Well, I can't tell you it was purely raw milk. I think it was though, because we went to a farm.
It was Yoo-Hoo.
No, we just had this conversation with somebody last night. Yoo-Hoo has no milk in it. We went to a farm in Kentucky because we visited the Creation Museum and Noah's Ark out there in Kentucky over the summer. And while we were there, we stayed at a farm that had cows, and they would just give you, as part of your Airbnb, here's some fresh milk. Hmm. And it was so good.
So raw milk is just simply milk from the cow.
But this was refrigerated, so that's why I thought, well, maybe they did something to it. I don't think it was. I think it was pretty raw, though. But it hurt my stomach. It was so good that I couldn't stop drinking it. But the whole time I was drinking it, I'm like, my stomach needs the processed stuff. It's not used to this. And I melted.
Okay.
Right. Anyway, anybody else want to weigh in on the raw milk trend? Yes, no?
I think we've beaten that cow to death.
Dang it.
Yeah, dang it.
You're just mad you laugh.
That was pretty good. Okay, at
I think
home.
I said deaf.
At home microbiome testing kits. Any idea what this is? Do you know what this is?
No. Is this where they like test your stomach bacteria and stuff like that?
Yeah, you poop in a box.
It always comes back to that.
Is that how it works?
Always comes back to that.
Yeah, it's a stool sample kit. They cost from $120 to $400. They claim that by analyzing the customer's stool sample, they can provide personalized diet recommendations, which will help one manage conditions like anxiety, joint pain, and low energy.
Sounds like you could have used this after drinking the raw milk.
I think you just needed to poop. Let's go to the next one. I don't want to know if any of you have done this.
Has anybody ever done the blood panel, which is supposed to be similar? Tells you which foods you're more tolerant of.
No, but I was looking at that today, also with the red light therapy. It's in the same place that offers it, and I'm curious. Is that a good idea?
I have done a blood panel, and they are really cool.
Do you believe the results?
I do, because there are certain foods that I've always kind of felt weird after eating them, and it identified those foods.
It's supposed to like talk to you about what triggers inflammation in your body and
that, and it'll even tell you how it affects your body if you do a really good one. For me, it was the one I remember always is strawberries interact with me neurologically,
and make you smarter.
They make you a little like they make me fidgety. And I've never known really why, but if I eat a lot of strawberries, it does, and the tests prove that.
It's funny, coffee does that to me.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
You should research it.
Yeah, and it told me that I should eat as much candy as possible, and I was like, oh, okay. I guess I will.
Did it say anything about the Little Debbie specifically?
Yeah, it did. It told me oatmeal cream pies. And it told me double-decker fudge rounds, but not the regular
ones. That's pretty fortunate.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Last one. I don't know why this one is a health trend, but it is on the list. Under-consumption core. We could put this on the retired phrases thing.
Say again?
Under-consumption core.
What does that mean?
As in, like, they put core after everything, like hardcore. This is under-consumption. It just means not purchasing and flaunting material goods as much.
What does that have to do with... Is it just health?
Yeah,
health?
I don't. I mean, I guess this is mental health more than anything.
What? Sounds like not being an a-hole. Why does it have to be a trend? I mean, it shouldn't have to be a trend. It should just be what you don't do.
Person, is it a trend? Can you turn your mic on?
Yeah. Sorry. Is it a trend if like not everyone doesn't know about it? None of us in here knew about it.
Yeah. If you were like so hardcore about not overemphasizing things, are you overemphasizing? You're not overemphasizing.
Yeah. That.
I think if you just say, look, this is under consumption core, you can get away with not wearing a nice watch.
We're never going to say that word again on the show because I still don't even understand what it means. Jory Murdoch might, though. I'm not going to ask him. We'll be right back.